you may be seated. The Lord bless you. Such a beautiful song, you just want to sing all the verses over and over again. It's Amazing Grace. I guess that when we review our lives in the light of the perfection that's indicated in the Word, the high standards that's set before us, we and realize that Jesus paid it all, we somehow grasp a little more clearly the amazing grace that God has extended toward us. And then we must remember that was before the foundation of the world. So the Lord knew all these things. As Brother Branham said, the bride never did it. She was trapped. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Doesn't say blessed is the man who doesn't commit iniquity. All that goes without saying. That's true. It's wonderful not to find ourselves in a position of rebuke, but we must remember that the bride will never come into the judgment. The Bible teaches us that. Never will. That's the Word of God. If you believe on Him, you'll not be in that judgment. And also the Bible said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And that word means to declare righteous. Okay, it's a declaration of a spiritual fact. And these things sometimes are hard to understand. But then again, you can always take a type from this earth here. There's so many things we don't understand, but we sure do enjoy. It's the strangest thing that people don't understand air conditioning, but they sure do enjoy it, and then they sure know when it's not there. And that's the way it could be, too, with us. We don't have to understand all these things as long as we recognize them by faith, receive them, and understand them insofar that God said that was it and accept it. And what would be a tragic thing, though, to miss it. It would be worse than that air conditioner being turned off. But we can just take a little thought from that all these things that God's given us, we should just thank Him for. I found this that, you know, Pentecost was great years ago for thanking the Lord. And that's one reason that they were such a fruitful people, because they had a spirit of thankfulness. And the Bible teaches us also that Israel fell as carcasses because they weren't thankful, neither glorified God. You know, had the Word been mixed with them in faith that heard it, real faith, they would have been thankful because, you know, faith is not on the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the ability to thank God and to believe God for those things which are not yet in evidence, just like Abraham. And the more we're thankful, the better off we're going to be. Last little while at home, I had so much letter writing to do, I thought, well, always I start my letters, you know, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hope you're fine, blah, 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 you know. I thought, well, I'm just going to stop that. I'm going to start writing some heartfelt thoughts from the Scripture. And you know, the more I typed those letters and the more that I brought out and from my own understanding the beauty and the glory of the Lord and the Word, you know, my day was much better for it, and there was greater victory. And so we're the Bible says, think upon these things. I think you to think upon them, write upon them, talk about them, and the Lord will bless us mightily. Now, I don't want to keep you too late tonight, and just want to sort of continue from this morning, if I can, on the adoption of sons. And we'll just talk about it the best we can from what we covered and what we haven't covered at this moment. So before we do, shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Again, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You knowing, Lord, Your people are assembled here together in the house of correction. And we know at the end time, Lord, the greatest correction was correcting the Word, correcting the errors. You never mentioned, Lord, that correcting people's ways, because all through the ages we have known the devout life was acceptable unto You, that men were to walk righteous and upright, that their behavior was to be such that men could not look at them with scorn, but rather lives to be so transparent that men would glorify God. But Lord, all through that time, You were winking at ignorance. But now at this end time, You brought us into the corrected Word, the revealed Word of Almighty God. So You can say at this time, if any man adds to it or takes away, then they'd add the plagues or take away their part out of the book of life. And so, Father, what a tremendous thing it is to know that we have the Word revealed to us at this end time. Now, because this is so, and therefore, Lord, the ministry of that Word is so great as to be almost grievous, lest there be something said wrong. Protect us tonight, Lord, where we ought to not have a thought. Oh, God, just make the mind blank. Just take us right away from it, even though it might be even embarrassing. That works perfectly all right. Better be embarrassed than judged. And so help us, Lord, at this time to say exactly the right thing, not be double-minded in any way, but just right with that word, and then may it be heard in the same way. We dedicate ourselves, therefore, Lord, unto your word, that we might have perfect faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, many people quote Brother Branham that he said we don't have faith hardly to get a healing, let alone to have faith for the rapture. And you know that is true, but I believe a statement like that could be run with in a wrong direction. You know, really, if you study the Scripture, the Bible speaks of reprobate faith. And a reprobate faith is a faith that you have in something that simply cannot come to pass because it's not the Word of God. Israel had the Word of God, but they did not have the revelation. And their understanding of that Word was such that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end time, the people crucified to themselves the Son of God. This shows the reprobate faith because they never had the revelation of the Word. So at this time, if we are going to walk with God as Enoch and have a faith that is greater than healing, it will be that faith due to the revealed Word. And this will put us in perfect oneness with Almighty God. Because, you see, Jesus was the manifested Word. And if this bride is going to be that, she'll be that manifested Word. So we have to have the revelation of this Word at the end time. And as Brother Branham said, categorically stated, the bride has all she needs to put her in the rapture. See? Now, that's like saying that that you've got enough money to build a house. Categorically, I have everything I need to build a house. Why? Because the money is mine and the materials are available. Translate that now in the terms of the spiritual. The Word has within it the full power of transformation. And if I have the Word, I have the transformation. See? Just the same idea. It may not have been put to work 100% effectively, but the effect will be there. See? That's where we stand. Now, we'll just go to one verse of Scripture in the book of Romans, and that's the 8th chapter. And it's verse 15. Wherefore you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this subject, we showed from the prophet's message that there would be a Word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Quoting Brother Branham, there'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, plural, till they'll, plural, speak the Word, and it, that Word, will create itself like that. In other words, he said, there's a power now is coming in, and it's now in the church, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that the bride, in the plural number, will speak the Word of God, and whatever they speak will be created. The same as when God said, let there be light, and he didn't have to say, oh, I missed it. That became an elephant. You got just that right now today in people. They attempt to come into a final reality of faith in that Word for it to produce itself, it just won't. But there's coming a day when that Word spoken will actually produce itself. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be rain, there comes rain. In other words, there is no hit and miss. It's Mark 11 brought right into open view. Now notice the language of the prophet. Now is coming in. You'll notice that can only mean one thing. Then that is the potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it will produce the manifestation in her of creation by spoken word. That's right. God is going to refill the bride with the Holy Spirit. Then see what happens. Quoting Brother Branham, we've got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. Now that's what he told us, and that's what we believe. Now, my good friend Dr. Hoyer, that I consider the greatest authority in the Hebrew and the Greek, took me aside one time after preaching in Chicago, and he said, Brother Vail, he said, I don't want you to think me to be a fanatic. And he was so apologetic, I thought, my, what in the world does this man want to tell me? And he said, I believe before the bride is taken away, the creative Word of God will be in her. He knew by the pure study of the Greek, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what a prophet of God told us was absolutely in store at this particular time. Now, this great capstone ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of sons of God. That is, to me, it is. Now, you can call it the third pull to differentiate. That's all right, because we've been calling it the third pull. To me, it is the manifestation because this is a phase of it. See? It's a phase and a part of it. Also, the adoption, because that's the very same word. Manifestation, placing the sons, is all the same thing. And when Brother Branham switched to the terminology third pull, to me, this is part of that manifestation that is spoken of in the Word of God. Now, let's just think on the prime cause of this great manifestation, or the cause or what it is that brings it about. It is already in the bride. Paul the Apostle said that we already have the spirit of adoption, but we're waiting for the manifestation, or the fullness of the manifestation of that very spirit that in us. In other words, the evidence of the adoption has been subdued because the time for it is not yet. See? Just like he said about the Lutherans had the potential of the Holy Spirit. Now, he wasn't saying they potentially had the baptism with the Holy Ghost individually. He wasn't saying that. He was speaking of the time element when there would be this manifestation. So the time is not yet, but it's in this area we're in right now for this to appear. See? Now, our text in Romans 8:15 tells us, as I've already mentioned, that we have the spirit of adoption. We've got that spirit that's going to bring it about. But you see, it wasn't time for it. See? It's just like, let's face it, in the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son born of a woman. You mean to tell me that wasn't already there? Always was there. But it wasn't time for it to come forth in this particular way. Spirit of adoption's always been here through the 2,000 years. But to bring into manifestation what this scripture deals with, it wasn't time yet. Notice what we read this morning. We'll read it again, beginning at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was not made subject to vanity willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. And not only creation, but ourselves also, even though we've got the first fruits of the Spirit. See? Even though we've got that spirit of adoption, even we groan in ourselves, what are we doing? Waiting. You're waiting. See? It's just like the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was already there to be given, but it wasn't time. They had to wait for it. So we are in the process of waiting. But now we've come to the very age in which it's got to come into fulfillment, and we're still waiting. See? But oh my, we're close. See? It's nearer than when we first believed. See, we've come right up to it at this moment. See? So this tells us why the bride has not yet been placed as sons, and it tells when she will be. It's in this period of this end time, right around resurrection period. Now, remember we said this morning where resurrection period was? It's over here in the 11th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Romans. I hope it is, because it's easier to find if I know where it is. Now, it says here in verse 15, Romans 11, for if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And I told you this morning that life from the dead is resurrection, because Israel is not dead. Israel's blinded. She's not dead. Every elected Israelite is under that altar right now, and they're waiting under the fifth seal for the 144,000 to come in, and it's over. See? All Israel's in, all Gentiles in, now the whole family of heaven and earth. See? Now, of course, those under the altar got to wait for the white throne judgment. But all the election's over. Now then, is Israel being received to God? She's back in the homeland. Resurrection season. Then, therefore, it is adoption season. See, it's manifestation season. We're right in it. See, just waiting now for the last little bit. See, now, that's where we stand right today. Now, thus we have a very clear picture before us. And that is, it is the body of Christ coming up through the ages from the feet to the head. You see, now we're taking the historical view. And I find, as I said this morning, so many people just don't grasp Brother Branham's teaching. which is he takes the view of the bride coming up. He doesn't take a personal viewpoint. Why? Because Brother Branham did the work of an evangelist. He was not an evangelist. See? He did the work of a pastor. He was not a local pastor. He was pastor to the bride. See? What was he? The prophet messenger restoring the word to the bride. See, there's a big difference there. Now, we'll talk about that too. So we see here, it's the church or the body of Christ, that's the best term, coming up through the ages from the feet to the very head. See? But notice, not one age, see, is on earth while the other age remains. Age one goes, age two comes on. Age two goes, age three goes on. So not at one time do you have the whole body of Christ on earth in their mortal bodies. They're never on earth the same time. Paul's age went off the scene, gone. Irenaeus' age is gone. See? They're not on earth at the same time. The messengers aren't on earth at the same time. They're not here in their mortal body. See? Making a whole body. That's what I'm trying to show you. So the whole body is never made up at one time. It comes from the feet to the head. See? And it's got to grow up to where it came from, which is the head. See? Now that's the picture you got to see. It's the pyramid. See? The wide bottom of the pyramid. Growing up, 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 till it comes to a very peak. Now, just keep that in your mind, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the bride, the body of Christ, being raised through the ages. See? Now, you notice in here, John saw seven golden branches of one lamp. And each branch was a church age. And each age had a messenger. See? A revelation which became a message from the messenger, and then the hearers who took the message. Now, we can take a look at that, as I mentioned this morning, over here in Ephesians. See, you get the picture. See, there's going to be an adoption, but you see, you're not going to adopt a portion. It's like the first age has got to wait to the end for the very last ministry. Now, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, Paul speaking here in the 15 and 16 verses, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. See? Notice, he said, every joint is supplying. Like seven layers in a pyramid. Seven branches to a candlestick. Seven joints in a body. See, seven divisions. Each one is supplying according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Doesn't even say every measure is the same. It just says it's effective to the measure in every part. The first age was not like the second age. The third, not like the second. You got to the fourth, the bleakest of all, had the least of all. See? Almost entirely condemned under a Jezebel, a prophetess. See? What a terrible condition. But every age is supplying. Notice, but it's making increase of the body. See? The word in every age by the messenger is bringing in the sheep hearing the voice. Age one, a message goes forth, brings in the sheep. And in every age, there's a generation. So God doesn't lose one seed. That's why at the end time, it's this generation that sees these things that all finish. There's no more generation. There's nobody else to come in. See? So it's all over. So here's what we see. We see this bride, this church, the body of Christ, coming from the feet up. And it's coming up to the very headship. See? Now, every single one of the first six ages had the potential or the spirit of adoption. Everyone did. None was without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because by one spirit are you baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that baptizing Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption. See, like we said this morning, God recognizing you as a son, giving you the Holy Ghost. Everybody had that in each age. See, there's no doubt about it. They had the potential, but it's not till age number seven that they have the potential, and not only have potential, but they manifest it. That's why the Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. Under what? The adoption. That's why the Wesleyans had it. See, every age potentially had it. But in this age, it's not only potential, it's the absolute fulfillment. Why?
Because God has turned back to Israel, and it's resurrection season. And in resurrection season, Brother Branham said, it's the dispensation of the fullness or the manifestation of the sons of God. See, we're in that age right now. There'll not be another generation in this world on this earth. There won't be. You don't have to look for it because it won't be here. It's all over. So it's in this age there has to be an absolute setting forth of the sonship or the sons of Almighty God. Now this is what I say Brother Branham was teaching was when he mentioned that all of these ages had a potential. That's why I said this morning so many people ran around and said, well, nobody's got the Holy Ghost. He wasn't saying Luther didn't have the Holy Ghost. He wasn't saying Wesley didn't have the Holy Ghost because by one spirit you're baptized into it. But they didn't have what we've got to have today, which is a refilling, see? Now, no age had immortality. Every age had the potential. But where does their immortality come from? Their immortality comes from the fact they'll be taken out of the grave, having died to die no more. But you've got a group that isn't going to die. They'll put it on. And then they'll come in to the fullness of Almighty God. Now, this is the age where God restores. You just can't have an age of adoption. This is the age of adoption. This is the age of manifestation of the sons of God. This is the age of restoration also. See? You have many facets or many phrases which bring out the truth and bring them together. Then you can tell what's going on. See? Now, Brother Bram says this is restoration. He said Luther had reformation. Then Wesley went right along. Up to restoration, they brought in justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts. But now, it's the full revelation. And what did he call it? The baptism with the Holy Ghost, but he also called it restoration. But he also said there was manifestation. See? Now, let's just think about that. This is the age where God restores. He turns the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and he brings about a uniting with the Word of God. Because that's what he taught, uniting. What's he say? He said, God's getting her ready. Yes, sir, uniting. What's she uniting with? With the Word, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my Word. And how's she going to die if she's got that Word? She's uniting herself with, thus saith the Lord. Now, who had that? William Branham. What did he bring us? The Word of God. Then what are you uniting yourself with? Can you be sold out to this Word and still have a girlfriend in the side? Well, Brother Branham taught so-and-so, but, okay, you philanderer, you got your eyes on the filthy creed and dogma. You're whoring out there with the harlot's daughters. Well, tell me you believe this message, because you don't. Have you got thus saith the Lord? Has the crowd that you want to talk to got thus saith the Lord? What are you uniting yourself with? Here's your word test right here. You got to start right there, and you got to stop right there. See? You got to be sold out to it. See, that's what marriage is. You make a vow. Oh, I know sometimes in a marriage vow you feel a little cheated. But you're a good fellow and you stick with her. She's a good egg and she sticks with you. Now, this word with Brother Brands may make you feel a little cheated at times. Yeah, a lot of people do. Stick with it. Don't worry about it. Stick with it. Marriage isn't all apple pie and roses. Well, there might be roses with a little briars on them. But union with Christ also has its problems. See? So just stay with that word, see? Now, she's uniting herself with thus saith the Lord, regardless of what any denomination or anybody, and you and I aren't anybody, else says. See? She's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She is the bride. That's right. And she's united herself with the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is the Word. And the church and the bride and the Word is becoming so one until the very Word itself is working out the works of the bridegroom. She's moving up. Listen, she was buried in the fourth age. She started coming back to life under reformation until we've come right now to restoration, which is the Word of God, which puts Eve back into Eden. You can't get away from that. Yet he said we're in the age of the manifestation. We're in the age of restoration. We're in the age of manifestation. We're in the age of uniting. See? We're coming right to the top. Now, the bride's making it ready. Now, what's he saying? Watch this. Spoken words, original seed. These last days, true bride comes to the headstone. Will be the super church, a super race, as they near the great headstone. See, they're coming. When they start coming, they started coming back under Reformation. Because before it was down, 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 down. Now it's up, 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 up. Three steps down. One, two, three, grade. One, two, three, up. See? All right? Now, they will be so much like him, they will even be in his very image in order to be united with him. Now, uniting is going on, yet you've got to be still united. What's one? One is spiritual, one's physical. In other words, we're heading for the marriage supper of the Lamb, but we have got to be in union with him now by the word, or you will not have the wedding garment in order to make the wedding. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will love him and have his potentials. For he is their head and they are his subjects, subject to the head. Headship of Christ was his. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Was the seed planted? Sure was. Is the water raising it up? Sure is. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has thus set the Lord. This is 1962. After the seals, he called the same thing the third bowl. Then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. See? Now you take that back to the book of Matthew on the sowing of the seed, and you'll find that the seed sowed in good ground brought forth fruit. And what is that fruit? The original that went into the ground in a multiplied form. That's what fruit is. They do only his will. No one can, now you know, doing God a service apart from his will. So how do you do his will? You're 100% with that word. No one can persuade them different. They have thus set the Lord, or they keep still. Then they do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did not complete all when he was here, for the time was not yet. Now, Brother Branham mentioned that on another occasion, where he said Christ did not fulfill his whole commission here on earth in his flesh, and therefore it's up to the bride. I'm just sort of paraphrasing that statement. Now, you can see from this that it's in the seventh church age that the bride manifests the very fullness of the head, which is Christ. She does. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. In other words, as Brother Branham said, the complete preeminence of the word of God, when flesh is becoming word, and word is becoming flesh, and word is becoming word. Now when's that happened? It's never happened before. Why? Because it's not authority time. See, creation is going to groan and keep on groaning until we come to this very end. Now, you can either put this in the manifestation, the third part, whatever you call it, but it's right here in this age. It's going to happen, and it's going to continue right on. Because you don't, Brother Brown said, you don't throw away one thing or lose one thing that God ever gave. What that manna was for the old day was sufficient. You don't throw it away, but it's not applicable today. See? We just keep on moving on. Why? Because we're moving straight up. Okay? Now with this, we go back to Ephesians, the first chapter again, 3 and 5. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, blessing us with all spirits in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now notice that this is the final thing. After we've gone through all of these years, the bride is looking, pardon me, for the adoption or the manifestation of the sons of God. They're looking for that. Now, of course, we know that those that are dead are looking for it in the resurrection. See? Because they're going to come up with immortality. But remember, there's a bride that doesn't die. See? There's a difference there all the time. Now, going a little further, down to the 8th verse. It says, wherein it abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even him, in whom we've attained an inheritance, being predestinated, now watch, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his, the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in him. Paul mentions the Ephesian church age is the first Gentile age that trusted. The second age will trust. The third age will trust. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, but the seventh will bring it into manifestation. See? Immortality comes. We're right in that period. And brother, sister, that means we better unite with this word. That third chapter, verses 9 and 10. Just jumping to taking a few of them. And make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, or before the times eternal, hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers of heavenly places, it might be known, made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What was the manifold wisdom of God? In all wisdom and prudence, he predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. And it's going to be the church that displays it. See, there has to be a display. God is going to show who they are. Verse 19 and 20. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See? Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Now, when you get that far, what do you got? You got four dimensions. Breadth, length, depth, and height. In other words, looking up through the ages, you did your best to fathom what God had in mind by his mysteries, but at the end time now it's from the height, God looking down. A prophet coming on the scene, no longer guessing, but knowing from the very throne of God what the mysteries are. And the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now then, what is it? That now, to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, what? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, where does the love of God take place? In the stature of a perfect man, there are not seven steps, there are eight steps. You go from faith, or birth with faith, all the way to love. But in age number seven, it is brotherly kindness, which is step number seven. Now, what did Brother Branham say about us as the bride today? He said, the best you can produce is brotherly kindness. He said, you jaw each other, you fight each other, like he said, us Branhams. He said, in the backyard, he said, we fight. Out in the front yard, we don't. Now, that's the way the bride is right today. And he said, the best thing you can do, he said, right now is that, and when somebody gets in trouble, he said, oh my, he said, right away you rush and help that fella. And that's the way we are. We could be ordered up to chaw each other up behind our backs. We can fuss at each other and fume. But you let someone get in trouble, and suddenly we forget about it. So, well, I guess I better help that guy. You feel pretty bad inside, you even said something. I guess we all go through that. I might go through that more than anybody here. But that's it. We get fussing during the day and cry at night. You haven't got it. Why? Because this is the age. Someone says, I got it. Hogwash. Oh, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. The prophet of God came and he said that stature of perfect man was definitely the church coming up into maturity. Then what is this love we're talking about? That's love is God. And when the refilling comes, God himself, the fullness of God comes in the bride, every inlet to that soul is plugged up. Now, she's got thus saith the Lord. Now she's one with that word. Now she only does his will. See? This is the age. And it's coming in a living bride, as sure as I stand here, because that's for as sure as I understand by faith what Brother Branham said. As I stand here. Okay, let's go to Revelation 10. Let's see something else here. We all know these scriptures. We just quoted by heart. In the seventh verse it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, that's the seven angels, see, when he shall begin to sound, that's the gospel trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished as God had declared to his servants the prophets. Now, what's one of the mysteries? It's adoption. That's why it's adoption time. We're coming into it. See, make no mistake about it. That's why there should be such a consecration and a holiness concerning this word. That's why we should be more serious about this word than anything else. And that's why I keep on hammering and hammering and hammering, because too many people are yammering and yammering and yammering. You don't believe what the prophet said. You got your own ideas about it. Now cut it out. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care what anybody else can produce. If I was going to look at production, then I would rip every page out of my Bible and excoriate almost every great man, because every great man flunked. See? Even Joseph tried to stop his daddy, full of the Holy Ghost, a prophet, from crossing his hands. Now, where would the cross have been? Through the cross, the blessing of God went from the Israelites to the Gentiles. See? You say, Joseph was very perfect. But listen, brother, sister, when you stop that cross, then your perfection lies in the dust as a withered rose. And where does Joseph stand? Nowhere. Where does anybody stand? Nowhere. Thank God we stand in Christ. There's where we have it, see? Now, at the end time, this great prophet coming on the scene, it says here, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, Christ is the mystery of God. In other words, if Christ, the mystery of God, is finished, the bride is going to be finished under this message. The Word is going to be finished. Why? Because this joint supplying the Word is going to bring this bride up to the capstone. Now, how are you going to fit my head on my body without my neck? Now, how many times bigger are my shoulders than my neck? About maybe three times? My shoulders? Yeah, about that. In other words, there's got to be a narrowing. See? There's coming, that this brings us to the pyramid. We're coming right up to identity. See? Headship. You think for one minute that the head is gonna take somebody that is out of line with the head? You can't do it. See, you're in this end time. In the days of the seventh church age messenger, in the seventh joint, in the seventh candlestick. We are right here, and it's in the days of His voice. In other words, His voice has everything to do with it. As Brother Branham said, the bride has everything she needs to put her in a rapture. And if the bride has everything to put her in a rapture, and they without us cannot be made perfect, then we have the very thing right now that's going to bring the dead out of the grave at the right moment. See? That's why he said, lying in the presence of the Son. It's one of the hardest things to do. He said, go out and find that woman that's got the character to listen to the message. Find that woman that'll stand still until you wash her in the waters of regeneration by the Word. Stand still until you can dress her in the robes of the Word of God. See? Pretty hard to find to stand still. They got too many ideas. See? Now remember, God's of one mind. If He has a prophet that stands in His stead, standing there with a pillar of fire, then we, as Brother Brown said, submit ourselves to thus saith the Lord. Now, it's in, as I say, the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, his message is coming forth, the mystery of God is going to be finished, as God had declared, what? The good news of the gospel. The word declare in there is actually a full sense, to declare the good news of the gospel. See? That's what's finished. And when the gospel's finished, what is it? The days of the Gentiles over. Everything that God has in store. See, now, watch that word. It says here, the mysteries of God should be finished. That word is perfected and concluded. Perfect and concluded. The complete revelation. The complete pouring in. It's all done now. It's all over. See, then what kind of a bride will it be for the head to come down? See, you're at the finishing stage. That's a marvelous thing. Now, herein we can see that Christ did not pour himself, as I said this morning in the church. He did not pour himself in the church. Rather, he has been continually pouring himself in until the last stage, and then it has to be the fullness. See? My, what a tremendous thing that will be. That the very fullness will be in the church. That's Jubilee. It's over. See? And when the fullness is poured in, then you're talking about a life, and you're talking about a life which is a ministry, then what will it be like? His brother Branham said, if the presence of the Lord was glorious, which presence, according to Acts 3 and 19, is what you can see in His dynamic, miracle, vindicated ministry. What will it be when the fullness comes? He said, my God, I don't know, but it's going to be glorious. That's why he said you don't know about the third pope, but it'll be there. Don't speculate. Just begin to get an idea of what's coming. See? The reason I'm preaching this way is I've got to brainwash you from your old thinking. That's like saying to Brother Bill, why talk about what you don't know? I know plenty. But I don't know those acts and things that are coming. You see? And you got to be brainwashed from the old idea. Well, all it is, hallelujah, I've been born again. The Bible said of Malachi 4:5-6, that if Elijah doesn't come, your hallelujah, I've been born again, doesn't mean that. He said, I'll wipe the whole thing out. Got to send Elijah. Or just wipe you out. See? So what'll the end be? You're coming right back where he said it's got to just fit so close. Right down the line. Now, Christ completely poured into the seventh branch. Completely poured in. See? Now remember, you're working up to the head. Now let's look at it. How much do the feet look like the head? See? How much do the limbs, the trunk look like it? How much the chest? Now we're getting up. See, when you get up here, you're getting closer and closer. That's why that ministry must be more and more identified. Now, why otherwise there couldn't be wedding? Now, there will be a complete manifestation of himself in the bride. That's what we said this morning over here in the book of Ephesians, that first chapter, in the 17th verse. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. I see, right off the bat, most people, they talk about this, they talk about their own power, they want this, they want that. But Paul said, I'm going to pray for the revelation. The eyes for understanding being enlightened. Why? Because they're not enlightened at this minute. The church is blind, but says it can see. See? He said, I cause you to get eye salve for me. Anoint your eyes. Now, of course, eye salve is a poultice. That's what the word in the Greek is. And it's made out of cracker crumbs. How would you like to rub some cracker crumbs in your eye? You see, it hurts. The church shows the revelation hurt. We're so stinking proud of ourselves, we think we know a few things. Even if we did know a few things, we don't know as we ought to know. If you'd have said to Brother Branham, look, you've got the trance and the vision, the ability to get to God, and you've asked him about this thing, now that you know, how much you know? He said, I don't know as much as I'd like to know. See? But this age says, oh, we've got it all made up. Paul said, and John said, you're wretched, miserable, naked, blind, just like this fellow here says. He said, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. See? That you may know it. Enter into a full revelation of the end time. Uniting time with the Word. Getting ready to be with Christ. See? The third pull. Manifestation coming on the scene. Now, and then at the end, you might know was the exceeding greatness his power to us who believe. What was that exceeding greatness of power? The power of the resurrection itself, but they're still in the grave. There's coming a day right today when the Holy Spirit and the Word becoming one in that bride will put her right into a resurrection without even dying. Now, notice, as Brother Branham said, he is obligated to do this, for he never did appear amongst the Gentiles. Christ manifested amongst the Gentiles. He never did it before. Now, how do we know he's obligated? Because it says this, in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, and both of those are Gentiles. That's right. Noah wasn't any Hebrew. Not by any stretch of imagination. See? Neither was Lot. Sodomites weren't. But they're going to repeat. And it's in that time that the days are back on earth. So therefore, there has to be a manifestation amongst the Gentiles, which there has been, and there will continue to be, see? Only the utter blindness of Laodicea could produce the conditions that we have in the world today. But we saw the ministry of Christ returned to earth by the prophet. That's right? We did. Why did that man have that ministry of Christ? To convince the world they needed God? To the people he went to already believed in God. To convince them that they needed divine healing? The people he went to already had divine healing. To convince them that Jesus was coming soon, they already believed it. Now what did he come for? To restore the Word. All right, then listen. We saw the ministry of Christ return to the earth by the prophet. What will it be in the bride? It will be an absolute confirmation of the Word that he brought, because that's what the Holy Spirit gave him to write in spoken word as original seed. He picked up his pen, and he wrote furiously, hardly knowing what he wrote. And then if he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that is a prophetic message for this day, thus saith the Lord, which has got to come to pass. The Word and the Bride being absolute one with thus saith the Lord. And that's the creative Word of God within her that he spoke would happen under manifestation. Read it any way you want. 2 and 2 make 4. 3 and 1 make 4. 1 and 3 make 4. 4 and nothing make 4. Still makes 4. In other words, if I see a perfect net result every time, I know there's got to be the same combination of factors bringing that end up there somewhere. It's holding true right down all through the line. I'm not too much of a mathematician, but at least I think I know that much. Now, let's go back to our text again. He speaks over here in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, looking at this, still following the same subject, a manifestation, the great work of God at the end time. He said, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, these born ones of the Spirit are not only taught by Paul what they do have, but he also uses a negative way of teaching by telling them what they do not have. And he said, "You have not received again the spirit of slavery, which is the spirit of bondage." Now, he said, "You don't have that." What is this spirit of adoption then? This spirit of adoption, Paul said, is not the same spirit you once had. It is not the spirit of slavery. In other words, you're out of the slave market. Once and for all, you're away from God. Now, let's just begin to look at slavery. In order to, as Brother Branham said, you can't tell a good woman unless there's a wicked woman there. He said, you don't know light unless there's darkness. Now, that's what Paul's doing here. He's trying to show them the light of the life of which they now have in the light, in the, pardon the expression, light of the darkness. In other words, using a negative and a positive. Okay? Let's look at this thought. He says here, "You have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear." Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 15, and take a look at that, what he's got to say about a spirit of fear. Paul said that Jesus took upon himself the form of flesh, in order to bring to nothing the works of the devil, and in verse 15, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to slavery. They had a fear of death. That spirit was upon them. They were afraid to die. Now, of course, we know that every single believer that is truly born of Almighty God does not have a fear of dying. He rejoices to go to be with the Lord. Now, he may have some doubts about how he'd be met by God. In other words, he'd have a little bit of a misunderstanding of Scripture and feel maybe that his life wasn't up to par and all, and he feels sorry that his life wasn't perhaps the right kind of life every moment of the day. But if you're born again, you don't have the fear of death upon you. See? Because you know that, as Paul said, to leave here is going to present you in the kingdom wherein there's no more fear. See? There's no fear of death. But now, notice, he says in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, "We're groaning in this body." See, we're groaning. Notice the idea. "And we're groaning not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon by our body which is from heaven." Not some disembodied spirit, but to be there in the paradise of God. No fear of death. See, because we have that spirit which does not bind us to fear. We don't need to worry anymore about death, because we know where we're going to go. And what about this last time age? That same spirit of liberty, not only now, is in position whereby we're not afraid to die, but thank God, we're not only not afraid to die, but we have no fear that we're going to die. Why? Because we're not going to die. See? It's been working through 7 church ages. Every age goes to that. Who's afraid? Like old Daddy Bosworth, belonged to that 6th church age, sitting up in bed, shaking hands with all the ones that have gone on before. Lying and saw him just before he died, a couple weeks before he died, praising God. I said, "Oh, Brother Bosworth, you're not so old you have to die." He said, "Oh, Brother Bale, God doesn't work a willing horse to death. I've been willing to serve God. Now I'm going." You couldn't have held him back with a team of horses. He wasn't about to stay here. This was his crowning day, lying in bed there, his 2 daughters there visiting him up north, his sons there, singing and playing. I thought it was a hallelujah jamboree, not a funeral session. That's the way he looked at it, too. See, like Luke Rader dying, he said, what's going on here? He said, this is my procession. He said, you'd think this is a funeral. Put up them blinds, let some sunlight in. This is my coronation day. Men have not been afraid to die that love the Lord. They went as martyrs there. But in this day, brother, sister, we're not going to die. The spirit of adoption no longer is saying, don't be afraid of death. As God, we're afraid we won't die, maybe. It's the fullness of the adoption. See? No, you don't worry. God removed it. But now, thank God, the sting of sin itself, of death, which is sin, is removed. You're coming into such vital union, and one was with Jesus Christ. It's just like Eve back there in the garden. See? What a wonderful day in which we live. We don't have that old spirit of fear, see? The world's scared to die. Men and women fearful. The child of God, happy to die. But now, brother, sister, there's a march in the camp. This is the move is on for the bride. See? That's the day in which you live. Okay? We go a little further here. Let's check out another scripture concerning this business of fear. Back here, just to give us an idea, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, again, let me see, what verse? Verse 21. It says, because creation itself should be delivered from the bondage, that's the slavery of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See? Now, notice this here. This same spirit destroys all fear of death, bringing a change in us, except for the better. See, sure. What is it? What's going on in the world? Death. And what's happening? Every age with death is getting worse, 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 worse. See? But not so with us. Let every age get worse. Let the earth decay. Let troubles ascend upon us. It says, when this generation sees all these things come back, rejoice. Why? In the midst of the binding of the tares, in the midst of the complete pollution through sin and degradation, there is a bride that knows, as far as she's concerned, it's getting better and better and better because we're nearing the headstone. That old song says, I'm nearing the shore. Sure, they're nearing the shore in America, full of pollution and garbage. How many read the story of when the Raw went across from all the way from the east over here to South America? What did they say they found? They found every place in the ocean samples of garbage. Every step we take, we find more and more precious stones because we're nearing that shore. See? We don't have that spirit on. See? You say, things are terrible. There's a mixed multitude. Oh, horrors, horrors, horrors. Ah, phooey. Goody, goody, goody. Brother Branham said, except for the mixed multitude, he'd have known he had the wrong ministry. You just get worried about one thing. Stick to that word. See? What do you care about a mixed multitude? Let them mix, glory to God. We're the unmixers. Sure. See? Now, notice also the redeemed going on. See? It says in here, all creation groaning. Sure it is. But they're all waiting for our day. See? Sure they're waiting for this day. And it's right here at hand. My, how the world's full of all kinds of ideas. You know, the transmigration of souls and all these doctrines of reincarnation all. Brother, sister, what does it say here? It says creation is waiting for the glory of the liberty of the glory of the children of God. We're going right back in the midst of all the isms and all the cults and all the diabolical things in this earth. We're going right back to the glory of being a son of Almighty God and showing the world. That's the spirit we got. People are so scared. Well, this might happen. That might happen. Forget it. You don't have that spirit anymore, little children. You don't. That's what we're... Paul, as Brother Branham taught, Paul's doing the same thing. Showing you the dark side and comparing. This is what you got. This is what you had. Sure, if you weren't in this message. Sure, if you didn't have the spirit of Christ in Revelation. Sure, you could well afford to groan and growl within and say, oh, things are getting worse and this and that and the other thing. But now your redemption draweth nigh. Why, listen, he came down with that book of redemption to claim his precious possession, to bring us into our inheritance that Adam lost.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what I'm saying, but it sure sounds good. Because a prophet said it. I tell you, when it rings the bell, I just let her fly. I'll never forget the time he preached that day, and he said the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was receiving the word. And I said, hallelujah in my soul. I said, amen, because I don't shut up much. I felt so good. After a week of down the road, suddenly said, hey, what scripture did he give? He didn't give any. So I thought, boy, that's right, but where is it? And just like a voice said, just, you know how Brother Branham used his vernacular? The Holy Ghost used the vernacular. He doesn't have to read so beautifully pulpit instead of pulpit, you know. What if I shouldn't have a pulpit if I got the glory of God in the pulpit without it? Because the pulpit might go to the pit. But the pulpit might putt and get right in, you know, right in with God. Sure. So the Holy Spirit just like said to me, what are you talking about? Just like I'm a nut. Sarcastic. The Bible's full of it. So I read John 14, it was full of it. And I read 16, it was full of it. And I read 1 Corinthians 2, it was full of it. Sure, just believe it. If it just strikes your soul, bless God, that's it. Sure. You don't have to understand it all. You understand a whole lot of it. You should understand most of it. See? Now listen. Creation's groaning. And it's going down. And they're screaming, say, oh my, my. The population gets thicker. We'll stand on each other's shoulders. Pretty soon we'll meter out the air. They got all these schemes. But bless God, the spirit we got is looking not only, is not looking that way, it's looking for incorruptibility. We're going to put on a robe, bless God, and an immortality. We don't care what they're breathing. We'll be breathing the heavenly air. Sure, let's go a little further. Let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, and see what we're at, where we're at today. Hope you're getting this picture here now from the negative, because I felt I should present it that way, because Paul did. I feel I'm on good ground if I've got a couple of boys like Paul and Brother Branham around me. Man, I'm in very good company. Of course, I've always had the best company. Haven't been too good a company myself, but always had the best. I sure like that. Bless God. All right, that fourth chapter. We go to verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in pain again till Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, why does he stand in doubt? Let's find out. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was born by a promise. Now listen here. Right by Abraham, there's two kinds of people. One by the Spirit and one by flesh, and they both claim the promise. Oh, yes, they do. Now let's find out. Which things are an allegory? In other words, we're going to get a spiritual picture from a physical thing. And since it has to do with the church, it's got to do with the bride to help her understand the things of God. Now, which are two covenants? Yes, sir, God's got two covenants right there. They're both looking to the Word of God. He said, all right, I'll take you to your Word. Make a covenant. Now, one from Mount Sinai was generous to bondage, which is Hagar. What is that word bondage? Slavery. Now, here we are, right back to this old spirit. He said, you don't have that same spirit. You're away from Hagar. You're away from bondage. You're away from Mount Sinai. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now, what's she in bondage to? The church is in bondage to the corrupted word of Almighty God and trying to live by dead manna. Now, where's your Lutherans? Now, where's your Wesleyans? Now, where's your Pentecost? And now, where are you, my beloved children, and the Lord Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters? Where do you stand in it? What are you hanging on to? See? What are you hanging on to? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. She doesn't have those creeds and dogmas, that bondage to an organization. You'll preach, bless God, or we say or lose your papers. Well, let's build a bonfire right now. Hallelujah. See? Which is the mother of us all? Cross that out of your Bibles. That's one of the worst translations I've seen in my life. It is not which is the mother of us all. And Paul says, New Jerusalem is our mother. Not of us all. We're not all going to heaven because we talk about Jesus. Don't think for one minute we are. You're only going to heaven if you've been born the Spirit of Almighty God. Now listen. For it is written, Rejoice, barren that beareth not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. Who had the husband? Sarah. Who was desolate? Hagar. Who had the kids? Hagar. Me? Who had the bunch of them? The world church system. The bride has always been tiny. Why? Because remember, she gets her word from heaven, which is Christ. And the Bible said, yet one time more I speak from heaven. And not only earth is going to shudder, but even the heavens, they're all going to shudder. And everything which can be removed will be removed. There's only one thing that can't move, and that's the Word of God. And if you're part of that Word of God, you won't move. Now, what covenant are you under tonight? Are you under the covenant of a vindicated prophet, thus saith the Lord? You still got some of your own ideas. Still want to prove yourself right. See? We got to hack at this thing and hack it out, because Brother Branham said this was the whole thing, and it's going to come so simple it's going to go right out of their head. Now look for this. Look for that. Now I'm not knowing what I'm looking for down the road. There's something great coming. I haven't got the least idea how God's going to produce that word. But I know one thing. The simple thing, the word of the hour, is what we live by right now. Yes, sirree. And you don't get it all mixed up with carnality either. See? Now it says here, but now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. What is the promise? Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, in the last day to restore. Amen. Who are you a child of? Creeds and dogmas of the word of Almighty God. See, what are you born of? Born of corruptible seed or incorruptible. You know, I like that in Peter. He sure brought that out strong. He said, being born again, not a corruptible sperm. See, that's that word, germ or word. Corruptible sperm. You can't be born of that. But by the word of God, which cannot be corrupted. So you can be born again either way. Sure, you can be born of a creed and dogma. And you can seem to produce absolutely everything that the other fellow produces is real. You give Isaac a test, and you give Ishmael a test. And I'll guarantee one thing, they'll prove out identical. Except one was born of promise, the other wasn't. See? Now, what's the Bible? Paul said here, you don't belong to that old thing. He said, you were under that. You once were Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, oneness, two-ness, three-ness, and so on. But he said, you aren't anymore. Because why? You've identified yourself with the promise of the hour. That's exactly true, because Isaac was the promised child of the hour. Only at the exact hour could that boy be conceived, and at the exact hour that boy could be brought forth. But this other kid could come forth any time his mother had the proper period, and Abraham was able to have intercourse with her. And you can bring forth any number. They'll come forth like rats in a multitude. Don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. But listen, brother, sister, that's what the Bible teaches. They're in multitudes. There are a whole lot fewer that are in the bride than those that are out there. Who do you want to identify with? I've said on more than one occasion that Brother Branham had turned the world upside down for God and had a falling. I said, goodbye, Brother Bill. It was nice knowing you. Goodbye. Why? Because the crowd's against the word of God. Crowds against the word of God. And you say, my, but a sure bunch of what? Yeah, but he shook them off. So did Moses. 2 out of 2 million, over 20, got in. The rest died as carcasses. Not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but just bringing out the truth here. Because that's what this says. This is an allegory. This is a spiritual understanding of a physical picture of two boys who were born to one person. And one was a promise. Well, one had the right parents. The other was hybridized. See? So you can't hold on to anything of the past. What about Leo's dream that Brother Branham told you? And the sermon, knoweth it not. What was it? It was a white stallion and a black mare. And the black mare was so nervous it could not breathe to the white stallion couldn't breathe to the black mare. Why? Showing you that this message cannot possibly mix with anything else. Amen. If you're a come-outer, you're a joiner. See, when you are Rebecca, you not only leave your father and mother, you marry Isaac. Amen. That was a good one. Yes, sir. You don't fool around somebody else. See? Paul said, I've espoused you to Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin on the grounds that you don't have anybody else but the one I've espoused you to. Christ the Word. Oh, you say, but hallelujah, this Christ is the Word. Oh, no, Paul said, that's not Christ the Word. This is Christ the Word. He said, you're going to preach another Jesus and you'll take him. And what do they say? Paul said, he's Jehovah God. The Word become flesh, just like John did. And they say, no, hallelujah, he's the second person of God. And now they say, well, that's wonderful, hallelujah. Oh, no, it ain't wonderful, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's death. Because you took another one.
That's right.
See, now where do we stand? We don't have that spirit, bless God, decrees and dogmas going back to death. We don't carry anything that counteracts what the Apostle Paul said, anything that counteracts this last day message. We say, out with it. Forget it. See? Sure, stand the way you believe. See, what if I don't see it just the way the other fellow does? Well, stand with what you believe anyway. But don't mix it with anything. Don't try to interpret it by your background. See? Brother Brand spoke of vernacular that, bless God, was so foreign to the fundamentalists, they used their own ideas and they went into bondage for it, see? Now, let's go back, let's go also take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter here, and see what we're into. See? See, brother, sister, we're talking about if you're a manifest as sons of God, and we got that spirit, we're not going to have any of this worldly spirit on us that goes to creeds and dogmas and joins organization and thinks this is fine and that's fine. It won't work. See, you don't have that kind of spirit. And so if you've got something that's leading that way, you better examine yourself and say, well, Brother Bill, I don't have the Holy Ghost. That's, I think that's a very good sign. See, not trying to hurt anybody. But look, you've got to face evidence as evidence. See, if the evidence of the Holy Ghost is taking the word for the hour, and we want to mess this thing up, then there's something wrong somewhere. What is it? Time to repent. See, time to get baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have hands laid on us. See? Absolutely. This is not trying to be funny tonight. There's no place for humor in the pulpit when we're serious subject to this. Look at the 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter, 14 and 15. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with, that believeth with an infidel? See? Now look. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See? Now, what is that yoking? That yoking is a sign of bondage, which is a sign of slavery. See? Don't get teamed up with anything. Just saying the same thing over again. Don't get teamed up with anything that's outside of this word. Why? Because, brother, sister, listen. I read to you what the prophet of God said. Listen, a prophet of God to this age said, it's uniting time where the bride is uniting with the word. Then don't try to unite with anything else. See, don't do it. Stay with that word, see? Now, he said this bondage to do so. See, you get under slavery. Now, this spirit will cut you away from it, will lead you away from it, will lead you out alone in the desert with God in order to get you ready to go in. See? That's that spirit. See, we can talk about all the great things coming down the road, but this is part of that same spirit. See? You couldn't get Paul back amongst the Judaizers. You couldn't do it. Now, let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Tangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, it's just what I said. Don't you put on that slavery again. In other words, don't you get hooked up with slavery. See? See? Now that's it. How many people went back on this message when Brother Branham died? Went back. My, how they love the manifestation of things of God. Then when he said, well, I believe in one God, they said, goodbye. Then you know when he began to preach eternal security and sovereignty, God, the one that said goodbye. And pretty soon he felt so bad, God gave him a vision. In the vision, he saw this great big multitude that looked like the very same thing he saw in Mexico. And there a storm came up. And there he saw the preacher dismiss the crowd. And they said, okay, Brother Branham, we passed the plate. He said, since when did passing the plate become more important than altar call? He said, the people are dismissed. Oh, they said, that's okay, Brother Branham. He said, who told him to go? Oh, they told him to go. And when he got broken down, the angel of God appeared and said, what are you crying about? If our Lord has only left for 12 and they left him, what are you crying about? Now, who got rid of the people? The preachers got rid of people. Now, he said, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Don't be brought back into slavery, but stay with this word, because that's what Paul said was going to take the bride to her death. Now listen, I know we read the book of Revelation, thou hast lost thy first love, and over here thou hast done so and so, and over here we get to thinking, oh my, is this really the thing if we leave that word? That's what Paul said. Then stick with it. That's what William Branham said. That's what's being restored. Everything else we've had, but not restoration. See? Now Paul said, don't go back. Listen, behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, what's circumcision? That's a cutting off. Circumcise the heart. Circumcise the lips. Circumcise the mind. Cut it off, cut it off. That's great. It's great to be cut off. He said, now listen, if you get circumcised, in other words, if you are going back, you know, going on back to where you felt, you say, well, I was justified here, I was sanctified here, but didn't go on to the Holy Ghost. Or you see, I've talked in tongues and turned down that message. You're just talking about a case of circumcision. That's all. See? You're going right back to it. Say, well, glory to God. I know, well, don't tell me, bless God, I wasn't saved, because I want to tell you, I was a terrible drunkard, and you know, and I was a terrible man, and you know what? God changed me. Well, I can show you a lot of chairmen that got changed without God. Now, where's your testimony there? See? He said, don't go back to that. Now, he said, Christ profits you nothing. Okay? You follow the point? See, Brother Bill, I know I had an experience. I know I love the Lord. I know positively that God filled me. And then claim there's two gods and turn down an ensign prophet vindicated? Christ profits you nothing. Doesn't profit you then. You can't. Listen, brother, sister, we're at the deadline tonight. We're at a deadline. This is what Brother Branham tried to teach us. Christ will not be joined to a harlot. You won't do it. And remember, it's in the mind where you fornicate. See? Sure, I know. Say, well, that's Christian Science. I know it isn't. It's the word of the living God. It's the living word of the living God. For I testify to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. See? Now listen, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Why? Because now we have the spirit of liberty, which does what? Which brings us the word of Almighty God and go on back to anything that held bondage over us. At that time it says Christ is of no effect. You go on back, be a loser. Go on back, be a Presbyterian. Try to mix it up. Isn't going to work. Now listen, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now notice right here, the Bible says we're already righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it says we're waiting for it. In other words, the full manifestation is not there. And so the same thing in our day. We've already got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Spirit of adoption. And now, brother, sister, we're going on until one day that thing absolutely manifests that we are the very thing we stood for by the vindicated word of the prophet of God. That's right. It's coming. Because he said, lie in the presence of the Son. See, you put your faith in this word, brother, sister. There's nothing greater than the word. Because we know it's the real word of God, just like Paul had. Now, he said here, don't be snared. The word entangled means snared. You ever snare a gopher? Ever snare a fish? You just wait till he's stupid enough to stick his head in. That's what a snare is. Or he goes down a certain path, and you can just figure his path out. You got him. Or something covered up. See? Don't be snared. In other words, no matter how subtle it is, you stick with this word. See? No matter how hard to understand, how hard to take to your heart, stick with that word, see? Remember, circumcision was once, I said circumcision once, was the true sign of the covenant. It was the evidence, but now it is death. Luther was right once, it's death. Wesley was right once, it's death. Pentecost was right once, it's death. There's only one place there's life. Do you believe Brother Branham was that prophet? All right, then get ready. He said, nothing outside of this message shall come to life. Do you believe that? You really believe it? I hope you do, because it scares the living daylights out of me. That means if I'm not part of this message and one with it, I don't have any life. And Paul said, if you go back to circumcision, you go on back to what has become a snare. I ask you a question. Has Lutheranism become a snare? Has Catholicism become a snare? Has Wesleyan become a snare? Pentecostism? Oh, you know it is. Because right today you've got people speaking in tongues in denominations that have no more idea of the word of Almighty God than I would know anything would have. See? Now, he says here, through the Spirit, he said, we're waiting. We've already got it in embryo. See? But one day it's going to show forth. What is that day? We're in the day right now. See? But listen, Paul warned them. Sure he did. But what happened? They did not heed. And in 2 Corinthians 2-4, they went to the dead. What does it say in Revelation, the second chapter? Let's take a look at it. Revelation 2 chapter 3 and 5. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted, and nevertheless I have against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. She was a fallen woman. She committed adultery. Now how did he commit adultery? In the mind. She'd already turned aside from the word of God. Old people say, Brother Bale, she left her first love. She doesn't have love, so she doesn't have it. See, you got food right there. You got food right there. Paul said it was leaving the word. She left the word. She no longer loved that word. And how could she love Christ? It's the love of that word, brother, sister. And many times, because you love that word like Christ, you'll be misunderstood. What do you think of Jesus taking those thongs and beating those people up because they were doing the job that the book of Deuteronomy, the Moses law that God gave, told them to do? And now suddenly he says, no longer do it, and I'll beat you out of the temple because you are doing it. There's your dead man. There's your old circumcision. There's what was once your evidence. There's once what kept the word of the hour, brother, sister, what we're living for. You follow it? Absolutely, this is what the prophet taught. The word of the hour. And the church growing right up into it until she stands absolutely four square with the reality. And then Christ can go down and say, this is my bride. See? My, we're waiting for that day. They fell to their death. The first church age went down to death, and it started death in the whole church. And that death spread to the seven church branches. All, every branch got it. From here, the poison spreads rapidly until the church fell like a seed to the ground and died, just like Christ. The dark ages almost wiped her up, but God said, I will restore thee. It's poison back to leaving the word. Now we're coming back. What's he going to restore? He's going to restore the word to the bride that she might be a full word bride, and Christ is that full word, see? Now, notice, we're back to where we belong. Just outside the gate, as it were, the millennium. Just outside the absolute fullness at the very end. Now listen, let's look at this spirit of bondage. Paul wanted that spirit cast out. Now watch. Let's ask ourselves a question. Did Israel enter into Canaan land, which in itself is a minor type of millennium, because we're dealing with it in this sense. See, Christ, the Word of God says they didn't enter in because of unbelief. Now we're going to use it in that sense, that the people are going to miss the millennium today because they will not take the Word of God in faith that the vindicated prophet brought. Now here's the question I want to pose to you. Did Israel leave Egypt as slaves or as free people? They left as free people. They were given because of the ability of Moses, what he brought to them. They were given, as it were, carte blanche to enter into the millennium. Now I ask a question. Can you that are looking for the millennium enter in while you are joined to any slave system? How can you enter in if you have any fear of what used to hang over you as pertaining to be or asserting to be the Word of God? See? How can you enter in? God doesn't have slaves come into His kingdom. You've got to be absolutely free of it. And that's the thing we're talking about tonight. This Spirit of God in the believer that doesn't have one bit of bondage in it, but it's coming right into the liberty of the glory of the saints to the very presence of God when mortal men, dying and decaying, will walk right into the tree of life and partake and walk right into eternal life.
Amen.
See? And it can't come as long as there's fear. Just before Brother Branham died, as I mentioned you folk here before, he called me and Brother Billy phoned and said, Brother Vail, Brother Branham wants to see you. Well, I said, Billy, I don't need to see him. I've seen him all this week. Maybe somebody else needs a time. Well, he said, no. He said, Daddy wants to see you. Well, I said, if he wants to see me, that's better me wanting to see him. I'll come and take all day. He said, I like that. We got there. We were talking a while. We discussed a few things. And I waited for him to tell me, which I knew something would happen to him. I could tell by his face, as I knew when he received that revelation in November, when the vision of his wife came and he saw himself a young people again, and you know the story, when he turned the storm back and received the revelation of his justified position with Christ, no guilt complex in his life anymore. So he said, you know, Brother Vail, he says, the first time since I'm a child, he said, I don't have any fear in my life. Perfect love casting out fear, see. There is, in the bride, is what we're looking for, you see. The Spirit of God is going to bring in this revelation of her position in Christ. And brother, sister, Brother Branham said, when the bride knows her position, she's gone. See? This is what we're looking for, and this is part of that very thing that, brother, sister, we have right now. See? The potential of it. But it won't be a potential any longer. It's this generation. See? And we've got to identify with it. I am it. Through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because slaves can't enter in. Israel never left there as a slave nation. And they went on with a high hand. God having made his arm bare. Show me an age where the arm of God was made more bare than this age. In other words, Christ revealed. See? coming right into that day of leaving. Now, notice further. What is this doing now? It is pulling the people out of slavery of organization, creed, and dogma. It's restoring her right back. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins. See? God going to double the sins, make her sins double. What is that? Take away the word. Take away the name of the book of life. Add word. Going to get the plagues. Come out of her. See? This message is pulling out the people of God. Pulling her out, positioning her as God told Joshua to position the people. Isn't it funny how when Brother Branham came on the scene, you know, a good football team has got more brains than the so-called theologians, these miserable preachers. That's right. Brother Branham said, all you got to do is get in trouble, get surrounded by a bunch of preachers. I get that. That's very true. I'm not going to buck it just because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to say, well, now, he didn't mean me. He could have well meant me. Just get surrounded. But you know, a good ball team has got more brains. What happens when a good ball player gets the ball? Everybody runs interference for the guy carrying the ball to get the guy across the line. But what happened when Brother Branham came? They grabbed the ball and started to run. And they never listened to the quarterback calling the plays or anything else. They didn't listen to the captain. They didn't listen to the coach. They didn't care anything. They just said, hallelujah, Bible days are here again. Not realizing to say Bible days are here again means that the very ministry of Jesus Christ is now on earth. They cut their own throats by their own word. And they said, he's just a man. Oh, he's fine when he's in a trance when he can tell you, you got to tell me eight or two things. But oh, what a fool when he handles that word. Hogwash. You know something? I thought Brother Branham's ministry was real nice. I enjoyed it. But nothing like that word. I guess we are just a bunch of duds according to those guys. See? Position. See? Joshua, Moses said, position those people. Now that Brother Branham's gone, what's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is now taking that very word and positioning the people. For the first time in church order, they're finding out who had it and who didn't. Now maybe some of us are going to be content to realize that the Romans, the 12th chapter, just as much as the gospel is 1 Corinthians 12, where other gifts are mentioned besides tongues, interpretation, and so on, where it says one of the gifts in the church is showing mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, that's nice. I'm showing mercy. How about being cheerful? Another ministry is giving. But no, of course, not letting know who you're giving it to. See? Ministry. God positioning the people in order to receive the inheritance. His brother Branham said, here was Gad growing beautiful wheat. He said, now he said, Benjamin doesn't come along and say, hey, the way you grow wheat's good, I'll grow some too. Because Joshua said, you better grow oats. Isn't that true? Little Amy came along and all the women wanted to be Amy's. See? Alan came along and they all wanted to be Alan's. I don't think it'd be very wise for anybody to try to be William Branham. Amen. But a lot, I'm sure, want to take his place. Brother, sister, that's not God. Because nobody took the place of Moses. They couldn't do it because Moses is Moses. How could you take the place of William Branham? He's William Branham. And there's a resurrection coming, by the way. So you see, if I've got a foot to take the place of the foot, one of the foot's out. Right? Then don't try to be somebody you're not. See? We're away from all that foolishness. That's the Holy Spirit. Give a man a ministry. You know the saddest thing I learned in all my life? Let me tell you, my saddest experience in this world is when I put other men forward and should have let God put them forward. I can name you cases right now. One man I did a lot for, like some of the few people around here, but not in this area, down further, up north rather, here. Helped that man all I could. And I never had a man come back so flat, so rotten, so vile, so vulgar, so nothing. For all the goodness done him. The Bible says a man's gift shall make room for him. If any of you preachers around here got preacher's itch, I'll just say one thing. You better have a gift to preach. It'll make room for you. And if your gift's not making room for you, shut up and sit down. I should apologize for that. That's kind of rough. I don't mean to be rough and hurt anybody's feelings. I'll apologize the way I said it. Let me put it another way. You better examine your heart again and see you have got a gift. Because the Bible says a man's gift will make room for him, and that's the word of Almighty God. And every time I ever tried to make gift room for anybody else, it backfired, and I'll be responsible to God for it. There's no preacher can make you. There's no money can make you. There's nothing can make you. Don't try to be what you're not. See?
And that goes for a lot of women, too. A lot of women want to be what they're not. Brother Brown said, forget about trying to be pretty. As I said many times, you wouldn't win a beauty contest anyway. And let's face it, you gals that won beauty contests, we'd all divorce you anyway, you'd end up in adultery. Because a pretty girl's as flighty as a, what would you call it, a butterfly sitting on a hot pin. Sure. The good woman's got the kind, sweet eyes like that little mellow calf down there. You ever seen those cows with the wild eyes? They'll do it every time. They'll bolt and drag you across the country, lickety-split. Sure, don't try to be what you're not. In this message, people will not try to be what they're not. See? Or it'll only manifest at the end time anyway, brother, sister. Sure. Yes, sir. You can deal with the they'll be there when the camouflage comes off. Sure, just be, as Brother Branham told us, if you're Benjamin growing wheat there, don't try groats. See? Now, this is exactly the word of God coming to us. That's the prophet taught us. He said, Ephesians parallel Joshua. Remember, and Ephesians is plumb full of manifested sons. We're coming right up to the fullness. We got to go the way the Lord put us. Be that good person. Don't try to be what you're not. And don't try to interfere. Don't try to take the other fellow's place. Just work right along real sweet. And also notice now, leaving our type of the promised land, what got us out of slavery? It was the deliverer. What took us out of the marketplace? It was the price that God paid. What was it? It was a kinsman. Brother, sister, listen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we've got to have this Redeemer get us out of this mess into the promised land. What came down in Revelation 10 and 1? The pillar of fire, the same Redeemer. See? Now, that pillar of fire came down, and that Redeemer is going to get us out of this bondage. And remember, redemption is for the body also, as we showed this morning in Hebrews 11 and 35. Then listen, the pillar of fire has already indicated, scientifically shown, God fully identified that this is He, the same yesterday, today, and forever, ready to lead us right in. What are we looking for? What are we looking for? You know, I just couldn't stand to be on edge looking for something that isn't coming. He came. He appeared. They missed Him. Yes, sir. What's He doing? He's restoring us back. Once more, the spirit of adoption is moving in the church. Just like Brother Branham talked about that word being restored back. See, once more, that same spirit is in the church and it's moving right into the end time where God's people will be one with that word. The Spirit of God did not bring Luther in apart from the revelation of the word. The Spirit of God outside of Luther brought him through the Word. The Spirit inside revealed the Word. What about Wesley? The Spirit of God brought him to the Word. The Spirit of God in Luther, Wesley revealed the Word. What about us? The Spirit of God brings us to the Word, and now the Spirit of God in us reveals the Word. But what's the end time revelation? Manifesting. Okay? Third pull on the bride. The bride becoming Word. Now listen, none of these things, brother, sister, can go without a manifestation because Brother Branham said God's revelation comes to pass in a manifestation. See, what's it going to be? He said, wait for it and find out. Here comes John the Baptist. Who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm Isaiah 40. I'm Malachi 3 and 1. I'm also part of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Especially the part of Malachi 6 there. He turned the heart of the children, of the fathers to children. See? That's what he was. See? Now, we're coming to that very age. The Word of God in that bride. Now, then the Spirit, at this point, remember, coming up, is bringing us back to the full revealed Word of God. The life has been coming up in the plant. See? Potentially, all this time, we've been growing up into it. Now, see, there you were, the little stalk. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the light. But that's what it was for that day. Now there comes a stalk. That's fine. That's still weak. That's still the Holy Ghost. That's what it was for the day. Justification. Sanctification. Now it comes up to that shuck period. See? Way up there. Comes up now to restore gift. That's the Holy Ghost of that day. But what's it today? Wheat. Amen. There you are. Right. What's he going to do? He's going to bring the church right back to what it was. Eve, right back to Eden. The sting of death is going to go. We're in it. See? Don't look for something down the road. That's what's wrong with people. You've got it. How could a prophet minister grace and then the thing fall flat? Grace is a gift of free unmerited favor. You say, while I'm giving you a gift for your wedding, the gift never came. Then you didn't give a gift. Peter said the prophets ministered the grace which would be revealed in the saints. What did Brother Branham come to do? He came to bring us the restored word. What would the restored word do? Take us right back to Eden. See? United with that word, right behind it. See? Now then, let that word in the bride begin to produce. What will it produce? You don't know and I don't know, but it will produce all right. See? Now, this is the first fruit season. There must be many more like him. First fruit means a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You name it. 30, 40, 60, 100. Coming up to the end time. First fruit means much. More just like it. All right, if there's more just like it, what about it? We've got a bride with the word in her, and she'll only say what God says because she's got the word and knows what to do with it, see? Now listen, it's going to be absolute wheat. So at the end time, God is pouring himself. Now look at, if we've got to have this, as Brother Branham said, to bring up the dead, then God is pouring out the resurrection dynamism that is going to bring forth this word in the bride and bring forth the dead out of the grave. Can't do without the spirit of resurrection. What's the spirit of resurrection? The Holy Ghost. What's God doing? Pouring the spirit upon the wheat. How is he doing it? Line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's right. Oh, I know. See, I got to have a great big all at one time. Brother, sister, you don't get a great big all at one time. You plant the seed, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and you don't know how it grows, because the Bible says so. And then one day, it brings forth wheat. You say, does that wheat plant then know it's growing? It only knows what stage it's in, that's all. That's all. But one day, that wheat is going to be manifested. Yes, sir. Exactly like him. Now, here is where we're at right now. This, as Brother Branham said, is the dispensation of adoption. This is the time it's got to come. This is the age when the move is on for the bride. Right now, we're struggling in that seventh step that we talked about. Right now, the whole church is. We saw an example of reality. And that reality has come to the bride. She said, we're going to be Brother Branham's? No, sir. I said, we're not going to be that. No, no, no. No, you won't be Brother Branham. He never came to give each one of us ministry like that. He never came to be a prophet, to show us to be a prophet. He came to bring us the word. See? To bring us into the fullness of the last age when Christ is finally poured into that church, the last member in, and she will be so close to him that that headstone can come on down. In no other age was that possible. We are there. But, brother, sister, we're waiting in the sun for the dynamics to fall in the mechanics. What's the mechanics? The Word of God. What's the dynamics? The Holy Spirit. Every inlet to the soul is going to be plugged up. And there won't be one of us at this time then, when this hits, they'll be walking by reasoning, not one of us. We'll be just like Abraham, who considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You won't be saying, oh my, I don't have nothing, and she ain't got nothing, ain't nobody got nothing. You'll be saying, hallelujah, I'm looking to Jesus. And they say, well, what do you got? Hallelujah, I'm looking to Jesus. Who said I had anything? I'm looking to Jesus. Whatever I got, he gave me. What did he give? He gave me the word. What are you waiting for? Waiting for the Spirit of God to mature, bring it all up, see? Five sins to the soul. Five inlets.